Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
It's the Garden Hotline. Happy Saturday, everybody. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am here today for the next couple of hours answering all of your gardening questions. We're going to be talking about fall. We're going to be talking, guess what? You guys, I can't even wait to tell you. All of you lawn people out there, we're going to be talking about lawn today. So get those questions ready, and I promise you it won't be me answering those questions. So we have that in store. You know, and like I said, fall is definitely here. I was driving in to work. It is work. I was driving into the studio this morning and, you know, just really noticing all of the colors on the trees. That's finally here. You know, we weren't sure how that was going to look here. It was, you know, we were in a drought for such a long time. You know, really didn't expect much of a fall show from our trees, but we are getting them. Hopefully we all made it through the time change. I know my dog really struggled with that at dinner time. She was very confused. But I think we're finally starting to settle into those early nights of daylight going away from us, which is the part that I really don't like. I love our fall temperatures. I love the change of the season, but that time change and the getting dark early it's a rough one for me. So, so lawn care questions, that's going to be our topic today. We have a guest here. He's been with us before. Kevin Horde is back with us, owner-operator of Spectrum Lawn Care. It's a local family-owned business operating in St. Charles and St. Louis metro areas for over 30 years. I'm going to get Kevin's contact information out before I forget. If you guys need some lawn care service, it's spectrumlawncare.com, and their phone number is 636-916-916. 1881. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you, Michelle. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm super excited that you're here. You know, I might have called myself a grass or a lawn hater. But I mean, I get it. I respect it. I know, you know, a lot of people, my dog loves it.
Yeah.
I like it for, you know, paths through my gardens, but I don't know a lot about it. And I think that's one of the things, you know, that scares me on the show when people call in and ask about their grass. So I'm always grateful when you come in to answer our questions from the callers. So if you guys, before we, you know, really get into it with Kevin. The phone number to call and ask your questions, 314-436-7900. So what is going on in your world, Kevin?
So we are starting winterizations, or kind of continue winterizations. And what that means is we're preparing lawns for their dormancy period over the cold days of winter. And I guess tomorrow is going to be our first hard freeze. Temperatures are dropping deep. So get your coats ready.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think it's actually our first like frost. Really, too. I think there's some areas that have gotten a frost, but not really. I'm not paying attention that much, but I don't think I've actually had a real good frost on my grass yet. Have you noticed that at all?
We've seen frost a couple of mornings. Nothing super crazy. And by the time that the sun comes out, usually that's going to burn off, but we'll see what tomorrow morning brings.
Yeah, so the, you know, a frost and a freeze, we're talking about a hard freeze that's happening overnight tomorrow, and that's basically any time the temperature is below 28 degrees for more than, I think it's like 3 or 4 hours mm-hmm. consecutively, which is what we're looking for tomorrow. And tomorrow's high here in St. Louis, I think, is like 38, it's below 40 degrees, so it's definitely here, definitely, you know, it's, I think, a little delayed for us, but... the grass has been looking really good. Went through a rough summer with the drought. It was rough.
We went through a real rough summer, but we got some fall rains and things really have greened up. Tomorrow or really any day that you're seeing frost on your lawn, you want to stay off that lawn because it's the dew that is frozen on the outside of the leaf itself. So if you're out there walking around and hearing that crunchy grass, you're potentially going to be breaking that grass off, doing damage to that turf, which is going to take time to recover.
Yeah, you'll have like some nice dead footprints across
your yard. Yeah, sometimes they're like a kind of a brown gray color.
That's great. All the grass greened back up when we finally got enough rain. You guys did. You know, you guys work with Pointer. We use mm-hmm. you guys. We partner up with you for all of our maintenance clients doing our lawn care apps and our mowing and our aeration and overseeding. You guys are hopefully or mostly wrapped up with aeration and overseeding?
Yes. So speaking of seeding, we talk about soil temperature as far as germination goes. The ideal window for germination is between 50 and 70 degrees. I checked this morning, soil temperature is like 54.3, so we're definitely in that window. This kind of 24, 36 hours of extreme cold is going to drop that some, but there's a big difference between air temperature and soil temperature. So to answer your question, yes, we are pretty much done with our aeration and seeding. Not that you can't still get some seed out there, but germination has definitely slowed down significantly as soil temperatures drop.
And I would also suspect now that the leaves are starting to fall, that's going to kind of hamper the new baby grass from growing or germinating. How does that work?
Yeah, well, you do want to, you do want to keep your newly seeded areas clear of leaf debris. I recommend anytime that you've got seed on the ground and really most of the year mulching, as far as when you're mowing, letting those clippings fall. If you keep up with it, if you don't have too many trees, you really don't need to come in all the time and do a physical removal of all that stuff. So chopping that up and letting those leaves fall and mix into the surface itself is a great way to help build up the organics in the soil as well.
Yeah, and when we had Gene Ponzi from the Earthway Center on a few weeks ago, we talked a lot about leave the leaves. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as it pertains to your turf and your grass areas so we can get a little bit more clear on that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. 314-436-7900. We're going to get to your calls when we come back to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and our guest today is Kevin Hoard, owner and operator of Spectrum Lawn Care. Again, Kevin, thanks so much for coming out. Guys, the phone lines are open, 314 314- 936-7900. Today is the day to get your last-minute fall lawn care questions in. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. First caller of the day, we got Richard on the line. Richard, go ahead with your question.
Can I ask a question about plants?
Yeah, you can ask anything you want.
Okay. This is the year, this is the time of year for chrysanthemums. And I know they can be replanted, but when and where and when?
So, yeah, it's a great question. A lot of our mums that we see out and that we buy from our local nurseries or out and about may or may not be a hardy mum. So when you're buying your mums, if you have the intention of planting them in the ground afterward, make sure you're asking at your local garden center if it's a hardy mum or not. So that's going to really, you know, kind of dictate how this works. So you can put them in the ground now. I would recommend doing it as soon as possible. You know, we do have a freeze coming up this weekend, but the ground is not going to be frozen. So really planting can happen anytime the ground isn't frozen. So if you want to go ahead today and pop that thing out of the pot, or you're waiting another week or so till all the blooms are done, you could just stick that right into the ground. I like to not cut it back until spring. It gives it just a little bit of protection on the top or of the crown. So I leave it up over the winter months. Make sure you put a little bit of mulch around the base of the plant as well to try to help insulate it. And you're just basically trying to overwinter it until spring, till those roots start to really get going. It may, you know, if we still have some warmer temperatures, some of those roots might get going still this fall if it stays a little bit warm. But really, yeah, you can plant them now if you want. I wouldn't recommend. They don't really do that well if you bring them inside. You could try if you want, but I would just go ahead and stick them in the ground now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Up next, we have Bill. Bill, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yeah, I've got some small pine trees about 4 feet high that the deer have damaged. I think it's a thing the juvenile bucks do a rub with their antlers or whatever.
Yep.
But they damaged them pretty bad, and I was wondering, should I do anything with the skinned bark areas?
So it is a great, you know, relevant topic of conversation right now. I actually was just texting with a colleague of mine, somebody that's also in the landscape maintenance world. And we were texting back and forth about how, you know, she had spent the whole last week dealing with deer damage. And the deer damage that we're seeing now isn't necessarily the same deer damage that we see over the summer. You know, over the summer, they're browsing a lot more. They're eating up our plants. And like you said, right now, they're kind of rubbing. So deer will put on antlers towards the end of the summer, normally around August, and they hold on to those antlers all the way into the spring, and then they'll shed those. So right now, they say there's a couple of reasons why deer will rub. One is there's a fuzziness to those antlers, and they're rubbing to kind of get that off. They put their scent onto the trees, and then the other part, you know, is more of a mating thing and getting their scent on things. So it is really important to protect any young trees out there. If you're putting anything that's, you know, less than 2 or 3 inches in diameter, that's the ones that they typically like to get their little antlers around and rub against. They also like really smelly trees. I'm thinking like a magnolia. When you scratch a magnolia, it smells wonderful. So that a magnolia, multi-stem magnolia, is often one that they will go after. So, you know, there are sprays that they say can be beneficial to, that they don't like the smell of it, like a perimeter spray. Sometimes they will lick the bark before they rub their antlers on it. So, you know, something that tastes bad can also help. There's no 100% surefire thing to do. And then obviously putting up some fencing around it. But Bill, it sounds like the damage is already done for you, so that fencing isn't going to help. It will help further damage. But as far as trees that are damaged, what I always recommend is cleaning up any kind of broken branches, getting a clean cut so that can heal properly or start that healing process. But as far as the bark goes or the trunks, there's not a whole lot that you can do. My recommendation for this is always to just leave it alone and wait and see, and just make make sure the rest of the tree is healthy. There used to be, you know, people used to say there was like a product you can paint onto it. That is not recommended. And then there are wraps that you can do as well, but that is also not recommended. I think about like when I am hurt and I put a Band-Aid on and that Band-Aid gets wet and, you know, dirty. And then I take that Band-Aid off and my skin under that Band-Aid doesn't look too great. So that's what your trunk will look like if you wrap it or you put something over the top of it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Hey, one other quick question. For a large woody type hydrangea, like oak leaf, do they benefit from being hard pruned?
They can. You know, oak leaves don't typically love a pruning. That's one that we don't typically prune a lot. You can do kind of like a rejuvenation pruning. Definitely wait till it's dormant. I would do that, you know, maybe February, early March timeframe. You can do it. Just make sure you're leaving some buds. You want to see some leaf buds, and you're going to prune back to one of those buds. I wouldn't do that very regularly on an oak leaf. You know, we have other types of hydrangeas here in St. Louis. The paniculata is one that can handle a hard cut back. Even macrophylla type hydrangeas can also, but oak leaf is one we're not really, we don't typically do a lot of pruning on, but they can take, you know, a pretty severe haircut if you're careful.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Guys, we're going to take another break. It's just speeding on by. We have Kevin here from Spectrum Lawn Care to answer any of your lawn-related questions. We can talk about anything fall-related, plant-related, garden-related, whatever your questions or concerns are. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call for the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX. You are back listening to us on the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm from Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today with Kevin Horde, the owner and operator of Spectrum Lawn Care. And we're answering whatever questions you guys might have about your yard, whether it be lawn care or pruning or perennial care or whatever you can think of. We're here to answer your questions. And I did forget to mention the text lines are also open as well as the phone lines, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text with your questions. And we're going to answer a text question that we got in a few minutes ago. And this one's going to be for Kevin. The question says, should I cut my zoysia lawn shorter for the last cutting of the year?
So I think the first thing to answer here is, what does shorter mean? So generally we're looking at around 2.5 inches for fescue, maybe 2 for zoysia. I think if it's your last cut of the year, you want to cut it a little shorter. I'd say, sure, that's fine. I wouldn't do anything dramatic. You definitely don't want to go too short. Our lawns are not golf courses.
I was going to say, it's not a putting green.
Yeah, though we'd like them to look like it. So I think a little shorter, you know, drop it one notch maybe on your mower. You're good there.
Yeah, thanks for that text. Great question. Up next, we're going to go to the phone line. We got Phil. Phil, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I got a great big holly bush. It just kept growing and growing and growing. And it's about 10 foot high. Maybe 12 foot in diameter, and I was going to trim that back, but I wanted to know the perfect time to do it. I looked up on the internet and it said wait till late winter when it had been cold out all winter and you won't damage it and it'll come back in. Is that so? Or
that's great advice. One of the things about holly, especially here in St. Louis, is that it tends to get a little bit of winter damage if we have an extra dry / windy / cold winter. So one of the things that we can do is wait until it's, you know, the end of dormancy, right before it breaks dormancy. And then we can, if there are winter damaged branches and leaves, we can prune those off. But just horticulturally speaking, for those evergreens to wait till it gets dormant. I like to prune right before everything starts flushing out, right before everything comes back to life. So late winter, early spring, it's a perfect time to prune that holly back.
Okay, so wait till like maybe March and
yeah, early March, late February. Yeah, just depend on the weather. Pay attention to the weather and what it's doing. But late February, early March would be perfect.
Okay, thank you very much. That's what I thought.
Yeah, thanks for your patience too. Up next, we're going to go to Mark. Mark, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, question. I know it's too late to seed. I did that earlier, but I got a section. It's okay to put sod down this time of the year, is it not?
As long as you can keep it watered, you're good to go. Sod companies are going to continue to cut basically until we've got some surface freezing. So the sod that you're going to get might not look as beautiful as what you're going to get, you know, in spring or earlier in the fall. But as long as you prep that soil, get good soil-to-soil contact, and have the ability to keep it watered, then you can absolutely sod.
All right.
Yeah, thanks so much. All right. So that's also a good point that Kevin made. When you are buying plants, whether it be pieces of sod or shrubs, you know, we are in fall. So the plants are not looking their best when you're at your local nurseries, with the exception of evergreens, because almost everybody got in a fresh batch of evergreens, and the evergreens at nurseries right now are looking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I met a client out at a couple of nurseries. We were driving around looking for potential plants, and he said, what is about the quality of these plants? Are these the best quality? And I was like, you know, it's fall. These guys have had a long year. They're going into dormancy. So don't be, you know, misled. If you're at a local nursery or you buy that sod and it's not, you know, the best looking sod or shrub that you've ever seen. You want to make sure it's not diseased. You know, you don't want to get a piece of sod that's full of fungus and, sure, and things like that, or plants. But yeah, just have a little grace with some of these plants. But it is a great time still to do a lot of planting and even sod work. And again, around town, there are so many nurseries and garden centers that have sales going on. I was at Sugar Creek, and they had like buy one, get one free perennials and their shrubs. I don't remember what it was, but it was a percentage off. I saw that Timberwinds had a sale going on. And a lot of these guys are starting to have like these fall events. Timberwinds was one. They have an open house. I think it's today and tomorrow, but they have a great sale going on. I think it's like 30% off. But a lot of places around town are trying to get rid of those shrubs, those perennials that they've had around for a while. So this is my favorite time. You know, I'm always looking at the clearance rack or the sale rack whenever I'm buying plants for my yard, because, you know, like that's for me the best the best time. I'm a gardener. I don't make a lot of money, so I like the cheap plants or the free plants. But right now is a great time to be at your local nurseries trying to figure out, you know, what you can put into the ground. A lot of great product out there, a lot of good stuff going on. So pay attention to that and visit your local nurseries. They will really appreciate it this time of year. We're going to take another call. We have Sue on the line. Sue, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you so much. I trimmed my bearded irises back at the appropriate time, and now I have about 3 or 4 plants that have they have stalks with large bulbs on them getting ready to flower. What do I do?
Just let them be. They're going to do what they're going to do. You know, sometimes they'll send up another. You know, we had a really it was hot for a really long time. We didn't have this, our first freeze coming up today. So that kind of extended warmer weather that in the fall can make plants, you know, do some unusual things. And it isn't uncommon for an iris to send out a random flower in the fall. So I would let it do its thing. It's probably going to freeze tonight, so you can cut it back after. But, you know, I would just leave it till everything goes dormant. And if you want to cut it back, great. If not, you can, you know, let it stay up all winter. So no big deal. Just let it go.
Okay. Can I transplant some of those that I have trimmed back. I wanted to move some around, and I'm running late. Is it too late to do that?
So Iris would prefer to be transplanted in the late summer to give them plenty of time.
Okay.
You can dig some out now and store them, you know, in a paper bag or something over the winter time. But you know, for me, iris transplanting right now, I would wait until the spring or even next summer at the end of the summer. That's when they prefer. You can always do it in the springtime, but they just are a little bit happier, like late August, early September.
Okay. Also, a quick question. I know somebody mentioned the mums. I have a Palais mum. Have you heard of that?
I have not. What is that?
Well, it's beautiful. It's the flower on it is probably 3 inches around. It kind of looks almost like a sunflower, but not. Anyway, I bought it very cheap at a cheaper store, you know, because it was so pretty. And I'm not sure if it is a hard mum. I know, just take the chance maybe and stick it in the ground. It's still blooming and it's, the leaves on it are beautiful dark green.
Yeah, I don't know that one, so I don't know if it's hardy. But again, for me, gardening is a big science experiment. So if it's something that you want to try out, it will take, you know, a couple minutes to dig a hole and throw it in the ground. And you never know. Next year it might come back. So
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your show so much.
Thank you so much. Up next, we have Phil on the line. Phil, go ahead with your question.
Yes. Should I get my spreader out and spread something around the yard right now?
Yeah. So that that is definitely part of the process of winterization. So this time of year, fertilizer that we're putting down, we want to use a high nitrogen fertilizer. People are asking, how much do I put down? And it really depends on what that first number is out of your NPK. So the first number is nitrogen. And our target is right around 1 pound of active ingredient. So that first number is going to give you the percentage of nitrogen in the product. We're using like a 3502 right now, I think. So about 3.5 pounds is going to get you that 1 pound of nitrogen that is going to set you up for success in a nice green spring.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your call. We appreciate them. Lines are open, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. I'm going to go straight back to you, Kevin. We got another text, another turf grass related question. It says, I've always put down grass seed while night temperatures are above 50 degrees, but I've heard some people put down seed later and it overwinters and sprouts in the spring when temperatures warm up. What do you think about that?
So I would personally recommend trying to get the seed down earlier so that you do have some germination this fall. It's not like the seed is going to go bad and spoil as it sits on top of your lawn waiting for spring. So any residual seed that is there is going to have a chance of germination.
Mm-hmm.
Again, air temperature is a lot different than soil temperature. So even when it's 50 degrees at night, the soil temperature is probably going to be higher than that. So you still do have a window of germination opportunity. As the soil temperature itself drops is when germination is going to slow down, and then wait for those soil temperatures to come back up in spring.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a interesting question, a good question. For me, it's like about my budget, you know, like if I'm putting down grass seed late and leaving it over the winter time and hoping that it's going to germinate in the spring, even if it does, which it can, it will have, you will have probably a little bit of that. I feel like I just put down this expensive bag of seed and not got the germination rate that I would have gotten had I done it earlier in the year, or just waited and did it in the early spring. You know, like I want to get the biggest bang for my buck. And I think throwing down grass seed to let it hang out over the winter is probably not the best way to use my funds.
Yeah, absolutely. And also another thing to think about is in the spring, we're putting down pre-emergents to protect us against crabgrass. That same pre-emergent is going to keep that seed from germinating.
Correct.
So that is why we definitely recommend a fall seeding.
Yeah.
And give it some time. Just like transplanting plants, you want to give it some time to grow in before a hard winter.
Great text question. Love that so much. Love the option of the text line. That's for those of you that don't want to call in. You maybe have a great question for us, but you're not comfortable or you just don't want to do it. You can always text us 314-436-7900 to get us on the line. And we have one quick question we're going to go to before break. We have Ron on the line. Ron, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a question about azaleas. Is it possible to take cuttings off of azaleas and root them to start new plants?
That is a good question. I've never done azaleas in particular for a rooted rooting from a cutting. I think, you know, again, like everything, I always talk about how, you know, horticulture and planting is kind of like a science experiment. A lot of times when you do those kind of woody cuttings, you definitely are going to want to use a rooting hormone when you do that.
What I did in the past is the first time I took the cutting 2 years ago, I let them seal off on the bottom first.
Sure.
And then put rooting hormone on them and put them into the soil, and they died.
Yeah.
This time I took the cuttings, put rooting hormone on them immediately, and stuck them into the soil, and I still have the plants, but they don't look like they're doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to find a way, because this azalea bush is 50 years old, and it's a big white one, and the new modern azaleas don't normally last for 50 years.
Sure, yeah.
And this is really a good bush, but I would like to get cuttings off of it to get more bushes.
So what time of year did you do the cuttings?
Late spring.
Great. So that is a good time to do it. They really prefer, you know, when I'm thinking about those cuttings, especially for azaleas, they want to be, you know, that would need to be done in like a June-ish time frame. So late in the spring, early into summer. You're definitely going to want to put that rooting hormone on that, you know, right after you do the cut, and then keeping it moist when you put it straight into that pot and keeping it warm is going to be really beneficial. And then making sure that, you know, it's always kind of like a hard kind of thing to weigh out, is that you want to keep it moist, but you also need it to dry out a little bit in between. So having the right kind of potting mix is going to be important too. If you're just using, you know, a bag of Miracle-Gro off the shelf, that type of potting soil is made to hold water as long as possible. So if you want to, you know, do a really good job and have a good ratio of things in your potting soil, you can kind of make your own so that you can control the amount of drainage and the water retention in that soil. So, you know, doing something that's like maybe 50% of peat moss, 50% of like a perlite, and then some sand to make sure the drainage. You could also, you know, do a different type of
sand will often hold water though.
Sure, if it's but you need that. But sand within your potting mix will help with drainage. Sand by itself will hold water. So try that and try to
Now with this bush, at one time one of the branches fell down and broke, part of it broke, and it laid on the soil, and it started a new plant from that.
Sure.
But I have no place to lay another branch down to start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure a way to get new ones going, because I consider this a valuable plant.
Sure.
Since it's just an old plant, it's lasted for a long time, and the new modern hybrids are not what's considered have a lot of longevity to them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Especially in our St. Louis area, it's hard to have long-term healthy azalea. So I wish you luck with that, and I, you know, hopefully Hopefully you'll get some, because it sounds like that's a high value shrub to you. And, you know, I hope that you're successful with that in the future. So thanks for your call, Ron. We're going to take a quick break. You guys can give us a call, 314-436-7900. That is also our text line to ask us your garden or lawn care related questions. This is 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the last segment of the first hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am joined today by my friend Kevin Hord from Spectrum Lawn Care. And we are trying to answer all of your questions. 314-436-7900. That's our text line and the phone line. If you guys have a question for us, we're going to answer a text up next. And it says, since I missed the opportunity this fall, what can I plan to do to repair patches of grass that started looking brown late summer? Also, we had a lot of crabgrass pop up this summer. I think that pre-emergent is the best preventative for new plants. But what do we do about the existing plants?
Okay, so first off, if you do have some brown patches or brown spots that you want to do something about, I don't think it's absolutely too late. Get yourself some grass seed, do some sort of mechanical cultivation, even if it's just a rake. Get out there, rough the turf up, get the seed in, get it watered in, and we still have time for potential germination. As far as existing crabgrass plants that are in your yard currently, this hard freeze is going to start to knock those out. Crabgrass is not going to thrive through the winter and the freezing temperatures. So Mother Nature is going to take care of that for you. In the spring, definitely get a pre-emergent down. If you do have some crabgrass breakthrough, there are crabgrass-specific herbicides that you can use to get rid of the crabgrass and target that.
Great question. We're going to stick with the text line because we only have about a minute left before we have to take a break. Next question we have, I'll read the second part of the question. We can talk about the first part after the break. But it says, I have a lot of pine needles from my neighbor's tree. Where did it go? Will the mulch when I cut the grass today, or will that hurt? Should they rake up those pine needles from the grass before they mulch it, or are those okay to leave in the grass?
I think it depends on how much there is. I mean, if you've got some really heavy coverage, then yeah, potentially cleaning some of that up. I think when you run over it with the mower, depending on how much is left behind, it's going to kind of tell you whether or not you need to do some removal of those pine needles.
Great question. Guys, that's going to do it for the first hour. If you're on the phone, we're going to get you quickly when we come back from this longer break. You're listening to the Garden Hotline. It is 104.1 KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
We are back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape. I am your host today, and I am joined by my friend Kevin Hoard, the owner and operator of Spectrum Lawn and Tree Care, a local family-owned business operating in St. Charles and St. Louis metro areas for more than 30 years. Kevin, last time you were here, part of your bio, this is a different bio you sent me, part of your bio last year said you were a Star Wars aficionado. I noticed you left that off of your bio for the show. Is there a reason for that?
No, no reason at all.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. We really appreciate you being on talking about lawn care. Is there anything that you need to say to any listeners out there?
Well, I've got a little one that I think might be listening. I wanted to say hello to my lovely daughter, Evan. Hope you're having a good day.
I hope Evan's having a good day, too. Hi, Evan. So before the break, one of the questions was about pine needles in the turf grass. And that leads me back to a conversation that I had a few weeks ago. And we've kind of been talking about off and on for the last few weeks. Is the whole idea of leaving the leaves, right? We have a lot of good, beneficial critters that overwinter and use those for shelter. They use those, to make it through the winter. And then our birds and all of those guys are able to eat those critters. And it helps, the whole system. How does this leave the leaves kind of affect our lawns? And what can we do about that?
So I think there's definitely a balance. Leaving some leaf litter is definitely beneficial for the biome as a whole. If you get too much leaf buildup, especially if we get heavy snow, this stuff's going to stick around. It's going to start smothering, decomposing. You can deal with snow mold and some other things that are happening. So mulching is what I recommend as much as you can. There's a point where there's going to be too many leaves. You're going to have to remove some of these, but leaving some leaf litter is a positive thing. So sure. As much as we want our lawns to look like they're freshly vacuumed and nice and green all year round, take it easy on your lawn care company if they do.
Yeah.
Leave a few.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I get the idea of wanting everything to look, really clean and your lawn to look really, really nice. I push all of my leaves. I try to get, I'm not super tidy after a point. Like, I'll keep pushing them into the beds. I push most of mine into my beds to help kind of protect my plants over, and we talked before about, if we grind up those leaves, if we mulch them, that's kind of you're mulching up all of the little larvae or the things that might be attached to those leaves. And you know, again, nobody is perfect. There's no perfect system. So if you can, you know, maybe mulch some of your leaves, but you're leaving some of the leaves in your bed, maybe you're leaving some leaves on a far back part of your property. I also do that. I just kind of blow them down into the woods. You know, it doesn't have to be a perfect thing. You can mulch some of them into your grass. You can leave a few on the top of the grass. You can, you know, you can do a mixture of things. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And I will note that it's important, especially if you have, you know, an MSD drain, to clean those leaves off of sidewalks, clean the leaves off of those where that water goes down into the sewer, because all of those leaves, especially in the city of St. Louis, a lot of those will end up in like the River de Pere or things like that, which is not a good thing. So trying to keep all of that debris out of our sewer system, so keeping that clean, keeping our sidewalks and stuff like that picked up is a good thing. So, you know, strike a balance is what I say.
Yeah. Anything that drains to a stream, if you wouldn't walk up to a stream and throw it in there, keep it out of there.
Yeah. Okay. So great conversation about, you know, really relevant now. The leaves are going to start coming down here in the next few days. They've already started a lot, but we're really going to see that leaf drop pick up. We've got a few callers on the line, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call and ask us your question about lawn care, about fall planting, about anything garden related. You can also text that number. We have a lot of texts coming in as well, so we're going to get to these calls and texts as soon as we can. We're going to go straight up to Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you've been very patient. Thank you for that. You're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your
Thank
question.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a butterfly bush that part of it is about 4 feet tall and the other part's about 6 foot tall. When's the best time to trim it or shape it?
Good question. So butterfly bush typically for me is a late winter, early spring, even more early spring. Butterfly bush is another one of our plants that can get a lot of winter dieback or winter damage. In fact, some varieties of the butterfly bush that people plant, I would just call root hardy, so the tops of them die. So I typically recommend waiting until spring till everything starts kind of flushing out so you can kind of identify, was there winter damage, was there not? Sounds like you are just trying to even out kind of the shape or the height of it.
Correct.
And so I think that you could technically do that now. I think we're, you know, I've been saying wait till it's dormant, wait till things go dormant. After, you know, the freeze overnight tomorrow night, we're, you know, definitely going to be in dormant season. So we're kind of at that point. So if you need to make a few little small cuts to even it out, butterfly bush, those bloom on the new wood that grows next year. So if you're pruning them now, it is not going to affect your flowering for next year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dee Dee. We appreciate your call. Up next, we have Mary on the line. Mary, go ahead with your question.
Hello. My daughter gave me a sunshine red maple tree. It's still in the bucket or whatever it was in. When can I plant that?
Right now is a great time.
I would say get it in the ground. No time like the present. So,
okay.
How big is it?
It's about 12 feet high, maybe.
Nice. Oh, okay. Is this something you're going to tackle on your own?
No. My children.
Okay. Yeah. I mean.
We should just put it in the ground now.
Yes.
Okay.
Happy planting, Mary. Yeah, guys. Fall is a 100% wonderful time for tree planting, evergreen planting, shrub planting. If the ground is not frozen, we can keep planting those things. So you'll see a lot of, like I said earlier in the show, a lot of local nurseries have a lot of fresh tree stock, evergreen stock. So if you have a tree or a plant that's in a pot right now, fall, one of the best times for planting. The temperatures are lower. We typically have more rainfall, but as long as you can keep these guys watered, it's a great time for planting. So good question from Mary. We are going to take a quick break. If you guys want to call us after the break or text 314-436-7900, This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Kevin Horde of Spectrum Lawn and Tree Care. You know, I often leave off that tree care part. I just keep saying Spectrum Lawn Care, but you guys do, what do you guys do for trees?
So we used to do more, we used to have more tree services. We take care of ornamental trees as far as trimming, fertilization goes, but we also do have dormant oil services and deep root services.
Nice. We at Pointer, we use you guys all the time for your lawn care services, and I have never really asked you about that, but that's great that you guys offer those services as well. We're going to go to Frank, who's been waiting for a while. Frank, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, okay. My wife and I just bought last week some quite large potted mums for our driveway entrances. And I'm assuming I should wrap them tonight. But I don't know. What's your advice? We're going to have a pretty significant freeze. And we didn't do that last year. And a day later, they were all just brown. You had to pitch them. So we're kind of hoping we can get these through, you know.
Yeah, Frank, great question. I was hoping to get to this before the end of the show. So all of you guys out there that have potted plants, annual potted plants, if you have anything that you're hoping to save and take inside, you probably should have done that a while ago. But if you haven't, they will definitely die if you leave them outside tonight. But as far as the seasonal stuff like mums and pansies and things like that, if you want to try to protect them tonight, one of the best things that you can do is water them today. So they have plenty of water. That water will offer those roots some protection. And then you're going to want to cover those for the night. So, you know, you can use an old bed sheet or, you know, pillowcase. You can use anything. You're just really wanting to drape over the top of those mums or the container plants to kind of protect them from that freeze coming over the top. You know, this is a little bit different than a frost. So a lot of times we can protect our plants and things like that from a frost. A freeze, depending on how many hours it is, might really affect, you know, how those plants look when you take that fabric off or whatever you use to protect it. So just know that that's a possibility. You can try to help it out overnight, but it may not offer as much protection as you like. But the mums, pansies, things like that, that's why we, you know, one of the reasons why they are, you know, used this time of year is because they are colder, tolerant of colder temperatures and things like that. So watering and then get those covered if you're trying to protect them overnight.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Frank. Up next, we're going to go to Jim. Jim, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, Michelle. Hey, I about maybe 2 months ago planted a couple trees that came in a pot. They're about 4 to 5 foot tall, maybe half inch diameter. And when they came, they had this about 18 inches of from the dirt up to the top. It's just a loosely piece of paper that was stapled. It's, you know, for, I guess, to prevent like sun scald or whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Up the trunk?
Yes.
Yeah. Like a trunk wrap?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's real, like, it's really loose. Like, the diameter of the tree is only like a half inch, and the hole's probably 2 inches, you know. How long should I leave that on, or does it matter, or any advice there?
I would take it off, personally. The idea is to give that new stem and that bark some protection. The drawback is that as we get later into winter, any moisture that kind of builds up in there can be a negative to the health of the tree.
That's one of the reasons. So the sun scald, for everybody listening, is if that's why they put that on there, that paper could have been on there for shipping. It could have been on there to try to protect that bark, you know, through that process. But people do wrap their trees. Sun scald, sometimes it's called Southwest disease, is anything for like trees that you've planted, young trees, trees with thin bark. Often it is a red maple. In the winter time, everything freezes up when it's dormant. And then if we have a warm day or a warm few days, the side of the plant, the southwest side of the trunk, will also warm up, and all of those sugars and water that's in the trunk will start moving and flowing and getting activated. And then inevitably that the freeze will come back, and then that side of the plant that got warmed up enough to get moving again will freeze, and that will damage the tissue on those really thin-skinned trees. So if it's tightly on there, I do think that water could be a concern. You said it was loose, so that would, you know, depending on that, you know, you might be able to leave it on there. There are different products that you can use. Some people, especially if you're in a deer pressure zone where you have a lot of deer pressure, even a piece of like black corrugated pipe can help, although the black pipe will also warm up a bit. But there, you know, there are different types of paper or paper type wraps that people put around their trees to protect it through the winter. But it you know, moisture in there is definitely a concern, but also the sun scald is also a concern as well. So anytime you have that kind of wrapping, anytime there's like something from the grower on it, I almost always take it off. And then if I want that on there, then I'm going to redo it myself, because I don't even know how long the grower has had that product on there. Any kind of staking, like a lot of times there's like a bamboo stake or something like that that's been attached for transport or for growing. All of that stuff, for me, I like to take it off. And then if I want to protect my tree with a product, if I want to put a stake on, I can control it. I know how long it's been on. And then as far as, you know, protecting from winter damage goes, like as soon as that dormancy breaks and we're in an area or a time frame where we're not worried about freeze and thaw all the time, then you can take that wrap off. And then if you have like bamboo staking and things like that, and you need to do a stake, leaving that material on for a long period of time can start girdling. It can start tightening as that tree grows. So I only recommend leaving maybe a year for any kind of other things that might have on, like a stake or things like that.
Okay. Yeah. And they both had stakes, and I did remove those. And this paper that I'm talking about, it's almost like as if you had a piece of poster board. Yeah, and you,
I would take that off.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because even the paper products that they put around for wrapping for tree protection, it's thicker. Uh-huh. It's almost like a cardboard. It's like corrugated.
It's like a layer of cardboard, yeah, almost.
It's like corrugated. It's softer than cardboard, but it's got like a corrugated, you know, it's not just like a flimsy piece of paper that when it gets wet, it's going to hold or deteriorate or whatever. It's more weather resistant. So if it came with it, I'm almost always going to take it off.
Okay. And one last real quick question. I noticed that some parts of my lawn, I do irrigate, but that's been all shut down. At this time of the year, starts to kind of turn yellow. I don't know if that's like a disease or, you know, you would think and with the cooler weather that it would be just the opposite. But yeah, any ideas?
I'm thinking it's probably not likely disease. We're just not really in the time frame for that. It could be that you have different species of grass in your yard. If you've got anything that's, you know, warm season grass, it's going to be already going dormant. So you're going to see some color change there. So without kind of coming out and walking around, it's a little tough to tell.
Yeah, it's always hard. People are like, what is this? And without a picture, without seeing it, it's really hard to tell. So Kevin can probably come out if you give him a call and kind of investigate if you're interested in that. We'll give out his contact information here shortly. But I hope that helped, Jim.
Yeah, it sure did. I really appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Before we go to break, why don't you give out your contact information again, Kevin?
Yeah, our website is spectrumlawncare.com. Or you can call the office at 636-916-1881.
And we are going to take a break. You guys can call or text us 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Kevin Hoard, owner and operator of Spectrum Lawn. We are answering all of your gardening questions to the best of our abilities. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. And then over the break, I was reading some of the text messages. I want to clarify something. Somebody texted in and asked about covering plants with plastic and mentioned there's a lot of new gardeners out there that might not know plastic is not a great option for covering your plants. I believe I said you could cover with anything. Use things that are breathable, like cloth, fabric. There are special also frost fabric you can find at your local garden center. But that plastic, if it's touching the plant, especially if it's touching the plant, can trap moisture and become a problem. So definitely do not use plastic when covering your plants. Bed sheets. You know, Kevin was making fun of me and saying I had my silk sheets and pillowcases out over the top of all of my plants. I do not, but I'm actually not out protecting mine. I just let my plants, whatever the will of the plants is, that's what's happening. I'm not out there. I'm not out there covering, but totally do if you guys want to extend that time on your mums and your pansies. Cloth is definitely the way to go on that. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a 50-foot arborvitae in my backyard as a screen. I got four of them, and they have brown spots of the needles. They look like they're dying. Should I be concerned about that, or is that just something that go through during this time of year?
Also, a great question. This is something that I brought up. We do a weekly production meeting at Pointer, and I brought this up to some of my account managers and production managers. We're getting a lot of calls about these green giant arborvitae because they do have a lot of browning right now, and it is kind of their fall color. It's totally natural for the green giant arborvitaes to have that brown, especially through the middle, closer to their trunks. So that is not anything to be concerned about. We're seeing it a lot on the brand new ones that we planted this year. And we are also seeing them on older established ones. So definitely on our green giant arborvitaes, a little bit of fall color right up the stem is not uncommon. So nothing to worry about on those, Jim.
Okay, I appreciate it and enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. Up next, we have Lisa. Lisa, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning, and thanks so much for the show. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I have an evergreen tree, or a pine tree, I should say. What should I do with all the needles underneath? Should I rake them up to the tree so the grass grows, or move them totally?
So this tree is out in the lawn, in the turf?
Yeah, and it's been there 20 years. It's a big boy.
It probably doesn't have a lot of grass growth underneath it. A lot of people kind of just keep those needles collected, and, you know, it's a needle bed underneath often. You know, if you want to transfer it full on into a mulch bed, that's fine. But if you go down Carolina area, that's what their beds are, is needle beds instead of the hardwood mulch beds that we see around
mulch
here.
Yep.
I had to lower the acidity in some potting soil at one point during the summer, and it said something about adding the pine needles. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, pine needles can lower pH of the soil, but it's typically not a large enough amount to make a big difference.
Cool. All right. I appreciate you guys. Look forward to it every Saturday morning like I used to when I was little watching cartoons.
I love that. This is your adult version of Saturday morning cartoons.
It is.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said. Yeah.
Hey, it's true. It's my joy now. I'm older. And I think of Mike Miller every time the show's on. He's always in my prayers.
Oh, thanks so much for those comments. I was just saying, I was listening. You know, you guys can listen to old versions of this show. If you miss the show, if you miss part of the show, you can go online, KMOX.com. You can download the Odyssey app. It's on Apple Podcasts. But you can go and listen to shows that you might have missed. If you really want to hear me again, you can go back and listen. But I was listening to an old Mike Miller show from, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, from around this time frame, listening to some questions that people were asking. So if you miss Mike Miller, he's still available to go listen to on those podcasts, those old the old episodes on online or on anywhere that you can listen to your podcast. So check that out if you haven't already. Up next, let's go to Bruce. Bruce, go ahead with your question.
I got a quick question. I had a gum tree removed, and you know, they grind a stump, and you end up with that pile of garbage underneath it. Is there any way to fast forward the rotting process of that, or dig it up to get it out of there so you can put some dirt in or plant grass or something, or am I just going to have to wait and be patient for 5 years or so?
So we're talking about like the leftover wood chip from the stump grinding process?
Yeah, that, and you know, they you know, when they grind it up, there's all those chips in the wood and whatever, and it's going to take several years to rot. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's common practice for us to come in behind a tree removal company and kind of finish that clean out process, get as much of that foreign debris out of there as possible, and then fill that in with some new topsoil and either seed or sod over the top of that. As long as the actual stump grinding process was completed pretty thoroughly, you can pretty much clean most or all of that out of there.
Okay. And it sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, give us a call, and I'd be more than happy to come take a look at it and see if we can help you out.
Okay, thanks for the information.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce.
Thank you so much. I'm going to read a text up next. It says, I have a healthy hydrangea, a high river blue that's in a pot. It says, and that is, for you that aren't familiar, that's a macrophylla type or a big leaf. It's one of the kinds that have pink, typically a pink or blue flower on it. And this one is, I believe, a blue one. Anyway, it says the stalks of the plant range from 10 to 14 inches long. Should I cut the stalks down to a shorter length? And can I keep it in the pot over winter? And it says, if the answer is yes, I plan to keep it in a spot close to the house where it can get sun. So great question. So this type of hydrangea macrophylla, also called big leaf, there's some other common names to it, but these are the kinds that are typically not pruned right now. Should not prune this type of hydrangea if you want it to flower. So this hydrangea sets its flower buds for next year. Right now, they're on the plant already. So pruning anything on a macrophylla type hydrangea will affect the bloom. Not saying that it won't bloom at all next year. It could have some sporadic blooms towards the end of the season. But definitely don't prune that right now. And as far as planting or not planting, that's going to be up to you. You're going to need to water it and protect it either way. So put it in the ground now. You have plenty of time to be planting shrubs and trees, things of that nature. If you do want to keep it in a pot, just make sure, you know, people say they're going to put it close to their house to keep it protected. Make sure you don't put it under your overhang because then it won't get watered. So, and if you're going to keep it in the pot, I would recommend even digging a small hole, putting it into the ground to overwinter it, maybe throwing some leaves around it just to give it a little bit of extra insulation and protection. But yeah, so if it were me, I would be putting it in the ground. I think that's the most surefire way to get that thing through the winter. Up next, we have Nancy on the phone line. Nancy, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Well, I have a lawn question.
Sure.
I noticed that some of my grass was turning brown, and so I would get out there and I would hand water that area.
Okay.
And these little bugs. They looked like crickets. They were hopping out of the grass.
Okay.
And I don't know what those are, but could that be what's eating my grass and turning it brown?
Yeah, I would say if you are noticing increased insect activity, that is definitely a sign that, you know, that's a symptom of what could be going on there. So I think further investigation, identifying what type of insect it is, would be the next step.
Well, I did do some research on the internet, of course, and it said something about mole crickets.
Okay.
Could that be them?
Yeah, it could be. As we kind of always say, without seeing a picture of it or being able to lay eyes on it and identify what it is, it's hard for me to tell for sure. But if you're noticing increased insect activity, it's definitely probably something that should be looked at further.
Okay. Is there something I could put on the grass to kill these?
Yeah, absolutely. There are different insecticides that that are topical, so granular form, liquid form. We do have surface insecticide treatments and subsurface insecticide treatments as well. So if you have a lawn care company, I would say give them a call, see if somebody can come out and take a look and try to identify. Likely with the cold temperatures tonight and into tomorrow, I would imagine that insect activity is going to decrease. But when you see that kind of springing up again, give somebody a call. If it's us or somebody else, have somebody come out and take a look.
Okay, great. I'll do that. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, guys, anytime you have, you know, these insect problems and things like that, it's really easy. People see insects and they think, oh, we got to spray that. It's not always the insect that you see that's causing the problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the insect is the result or a symptom of a larger problem. So I'm not a big fan of using chemicals if I don't have to. This time of year, like Kevin said, we're getting ready to have a freeze tomorrow night, so that's going to kill off anything. So this time of year specifically, using insecticides and things like that, to me, is not always the first line of defense that I'm going to, for sure. Okay, guys, we have to take a break, and then we have our final segment of the Garden Hotline. I know you're sad. I'm sad, too. But we'll talk for another few minutes after the break. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right?
So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, joined today with Kevin Horde, Spectrum Lawn Care. We have a short amount of time. We're probably only going to get to a couple questions. Walter, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you think about putting hybrid tea roses to bed and peonies.
I think roses are like a controversial topic on how people are putting those to bed. There's so many different ways in which people do it. I personally don't like to do a lot to roses in the fall. You know, people always want to know if they can prune it all. They want to even it out. They want to do that. I like to not touch it. You know, some people like to pile up mulch around the base to try to protect those as well. You know, we were talking about moisture and things like that. With wrapping tree trunks, that's kind of the same thing for me, is that you can open up, you know, roses get so many fungal issues and diseases all on their own. And I think sometimes when you push that mulch up around the base of it, you're just inviting problems. As well, you know, you could do like straw or something like that that maybe has a little bit more airflow in it. But I honestly, for me, I don't like doing anything.
I've done a number of things and I've did nothing and back and forth, and it's like I was going to ask the pro, but
no. Yeah, there's so many options, and you know, like again, I feel like if we don't do anything, then we'll have a really hard winter. And then in the spring, we're like, oh, man, we should have done that thing. And then if we do the thing and we have like a warm winter and it's wet, and then we have all this fungal stuff, we'll be like, man, we shouldn't have done that thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like in some of these situations, you're kind of, you know, you're not good either way. So I'm almost always err on the side of doing nothing. But I'm a lazy gardener, so... and then, why as far not? As peonies go,
I usually leave them naked. I don't know if there's something you should do or not.
For the peony?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't do much with peony either. Some people cut them back. They don't want to look at them. They leave them. But, you know, I leave them. I almost leave everything in my garden up for the winter. You can go ahead and cut them back, or I don't put anything extra on mine either.
Yeah, I do cut mine back, but I just leave them. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. We wanted to kind of get to, you know, some weed questions, weeds in our turf grass. We did have a text. Somebody was asking if it's a good time to dig out wild violets that have overrun their flower beds. But that kind of leads in to, you know, talking about, you know, these violets and different weeds that are in our garden beds that are also in our turf. You know, as far as violets go, this question was basically asking about dropping their seeds for next year. So, you know, what do you think about the weeds this time of year, Kevin?
So I guess two things there. When our normal approach to weed control is typically through like a chemical spray that we're putting down. Now, these are going to be less effective this time of year because the way that a lot of these work is as a growth regulator. So what I think people normally think is that we're trying to get it to stop growing. But 2,4-D, dicamba, tordon, things like that are actually a growth accelerant. So it encourages the plant to grow itself to death, basically. So it's accelerating the growth process quicker than the plant can take in the nutrients it needs to survive. Now, the problem is, if a plant's not growing, that process is not going to happen. So as temperature goes down, growth slows down, dormancy takes place. So spraying these weeds are going to be ineffective. So physical removal, absolutely, I think is a good time anytime if you mm-hmm. have that ability. So that's helpful. But yeah, if you're looking to go out and spray some weeds right now, it's probably not the best time. We don't do a weed control when we're out doing our winterizer applications just because it's a waste of time and money at that point.
Yeah. It really, for me, I think about weeds right now and those weed seeds, especially in our garden bed. So, you know, right now is actually a great time. The soil's still moderately wet from all the rain we had a while back. But, you know, the weed heads, the seed heads that are growing on the weeds are more important to me, and making sure those are under control, cutting those off and making sure those go into lawn waste, not into my compost, you know, because the winds are picking up and these weed seeds are blowing around everywhere. I went out into my garden the other day and made sure I cut back. I have garlic chives in a pot, and you know, all of those seed heads are just there waiting to be you know, moved around my garden. So especially if you're not using pre-emergence or things like that, a great idea to get your weeds under control. But Kevin, thank you so much for joining us again this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't dread the turf grass questions, but I am always, you know, like hesitant. I don't want to give out the wrong advice on those types of things. But again, Kevin is here. He is from Spectrum Lawn Care. Do you want to give out your contact information one more time?
Yeah, office number is 636-916-1881. If you do call that number, you'll get Courtney, my lovely wife. She'll take down your information, and we'll get the process started of whatever we need to do to be able to help you out. Our services and some other stuff is listed on our website, spectrumlawncare.com. So you can head there and learn some information about us.
And as always, you can find me at pointerlandscape.com. I'm also on Instagram or Facebook at STL Plant Nerd. You know, Kevin, thanks again. I hope that you're going to be back to answer any of our lawn care questions. I hope that you survive the first frost that's coming up tomorrow. And we probably won't talk to you again until later in the winter. But thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.